The King of the City by Keith Laumer. Part 1. I stood in the shadows and looked across at the run-down lot with the wind-blown trash packed against the wire-mesh barrier fence and the yellow glare panel that said, Hog Escort. There was a row of city-scarred hacks parked on the cracked ramp. They hadn't suffered the indignity of a wash job for a long time, and the two-story frame building behind them, that had once been somebody's country house, now showed no paint except for the foot-high yellow letters over the office door. Inside the office, a short, broad man with two small eyes and yesterday's beard gnawed a cigar and looked at me. "Portal-to-portal escort cost you 2,000 C's," he said.
"Guaranteed."
"Guaranteed how?" I asked. He waved the cigar. "Guaranteed you get into the city and back out again in one piece." He studied his cigar. "If somebody don't plug you first," he added. "How about a one-way trip?"
"My boy got to come back out, ain't he?"
I had spent my last brass $10 piece on a cup of coffee 8 hours before, but I had to get into the city. This was the only idea I had left.
"You got me wrong," I said. "I'm not a customer. I want a job."
"Yeah?" He looked at me again with a different expression, like a guy whose newfound girlfriend has just mentioned a price.
"You know Grignac?"
"Sure," I said. "I grew up here." He asked me a few more questions, then thumbed a button centered in a ring of grime on the wall behind him. A chair scraped beyond the door. It opened, and a tall, bony fellow with thick wrists and an Adam's apple set among heavy neck tendons came in. The man behind the desk pointed at me with his chin.
"Throw him out, Lefty."
Lefty gave me a resentful look, came around the desk, and reached for my collar. I leaned to the right and threw a hard left jab to the chin. He rocked back and sat down. "I get the idea," I said. "I can make it out under my own power." I turned to the door.
"Stick around, mister. Lefty's just kind of like a test for separating the men from the boys."
"You mean I'm hired?" He sighed. "Ah, you come at a good time. I'm short of good boys." I helped Lefty up, then dusted off a chair and listened to a half-hour briefing on conditions in the city. They weren't good. Then I went upstairs to the chart room to wait for a call. It was almost 10 o'clock when Lefty came into the room where I was looking over the maps of the city. He jerked his head.
"Hey, you!"
A weasel-faced man, who had been blowing smoke in my face, slid off his stool, dropped his cigarette, and smeared it under his shoe.
"You," Lefty said, "the new guy."
I belted my coat and followed him down the dark stairway and out across the littered tarmac, glistening wet under the polyarchs, to where Haug stood talking to another man I hadn't seen before. Haug flicked a beady glance my way, then turned to the stranger. He was a short man of about 50, with a mild, expressionless face and expensive clothes.
"Mr. Stinn, this is Smith. He's your escort.
You do like he tells you, and you'll get into the city and see your party and back out again in one piece." The customer looked at me.
"Considering the fee I'm paying, I sincerely hope so," he murmured.
"Smith, you and Mr. Stinn take number 16 here." Haug patted a hinge-sprung hood, painted a bilious yellow, and scabbed with license medallions issued by half a dozen competing city governments. Haug must have noticed something in Stinn's expression.
"It ain't a fancy hack, but she's got full armor, heavy-duty gyros, crash shocks, two-way music, and panic gear. I ain't got a better hack in the place."
Stinn nodded, popped the hatch, and got in. I climbed in the front and adjusted the seat and controls to give me a little room. When I kicked over the turbos, they sounded good.
"Better tie in, Mr. Stinn," I said. "We'll take the Canada Turnpike in. You can brief me on the way."
I wheeled 16 around and out under the glare sign that read Haug Escort. In the eastbound linkway, I boosted her up to 90. From the way the old bus stepped off,